I need to take a quick moment here. I meant to tell you at the beginning that tonight we are using a different service than we've used before. This is the service of prayer and preaching. And we're going to be using that throughout Advent. And as we're also what we're going to use next year on Wednesday nights. You'll notice that when we come to the prayers, there is a space for additional petitions. And that's the place where we have traditionally, on Wednesday nights, invited you to put forward your petitions. And that's the place that we will do that here as well. And you'll notice some things are a little out of order from what we're accustomed to. But that's okay. All the things are there. But this is a little bit different service for us. And something for us to take advantage of. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, like I said, Advent is here. Advent is finally here. And Advent, like we talked about last week, reminds us that we are a people who wait. Now, that's not the same thing. People who wait is not the same thing as being dull or boring or behind on things. It means that we have a purpose. We have a purpose in our waiting. And as we go through this Advent season, we're going to look at some of the symbols of Advent, like I talked about, that help guide us in our waiting. And this week is the Advent wreath. Next week will be the creche. And then following that will be the tree. But now, for just a moment, we're going to talk about Lent. Okay, you got to get your head around that. It's a little different. We're going to talk about Lent, the season of waiting that's before Easter. In Lent is where we find our roots of waiting in Advent. Now, Lent is a season of fasting, and it's a season of prayer as the church prepares to commemorate the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus at Easter. And within that season is where we find the seeds for what we practice with the Advent wreath, and especially the colors of the candles that we use now. The traditional colors of the banners in church during Lent, were a deep purple. And they were there, they were purple, signifying, among other things, royalty and repentance, as well as suffering. During Lent, the church lit 7 candles, one for each week of the solemn season. But no matter how solemn the season, the story of Lent also has the mark of hope and joy, since after the death of Christ on the cross comes his resurrection. So, as a reminder of that, on the fourth Sunday of Lent, the church was encouraged not to fast, but to feast. Early in church history, on the fourth Sunday in Lent, the Pope would honor a citizen with a pink rose. And this pointed out that the season of Lent had reached its halfway mark, and using this color was a visual cue for that milestone. And as time passed, the priests wore pink vestments on that day as a reminder of the coming joy of Jesus' resurrection. Now, when the season of Advent was instituted in the church around the 300s, in the 4th century, it was done so as a sort of mini Lent. And that's why 3 of the 4 candles are purple, in keeping with the royal and solemn theme of the coming king in Advent to the manger. The church adopted the colors and the candles of Lent, and so the midpoint of the season of Advent is marked by the pink candle in honor of the Lenten tradition of joy midway through that season. Now, the Advent candles now have come to be associated with certain aspects of the story of Jesus' birth as we know it from the Gospels. Now, these associations, like the string around the finger and like the Advent wreath, are meant to help us as we both wait and as we remember. The first candle is best known as the hope or the prophecy candle. As the first candle, it stands alone and it shines the longest. That reminds us of the prophets of God, who often also stood alone themselves. And they have long shined the light of God's word of hope into a very dark and very rebellious world. So as we look at the prophecy candle lit today, we're reminded of the words that come to us from God's Old Testament prophets, like Isaiah. Isaiah spoke a prophecy concerning Jesus when he said in chapter 42, verse 1, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations." So going on then to the second purple candle, again denoting royalty. This is known as the Bethlehem candle. Sometimes it's also called the peace candle. Now this candle, of course, adds more light to the wreath than just the single candle of hope and prophecy. In fact, it doubles the amount of light by reminding us that the tiny town of Bethlehem is the town of King David. We are reminded that Jesus is the royal one who is promised to come. Again, one of the prophets, this time the minor prophet Micah, in chapter 5, verse 2 says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one for me who will be ruler over Israel." Now next, the third candle, like we spoke about earlier, is the pink candle of joy, also called the shepherd's candle. Now this candle is the one that we light to remind us in our season of waiting and preparing that what's to come in Bethlehem, foretold by the prophets, will result for us in joy greater than any that we can imagine here on earth. The joy of Jesus' first coming lies in what he came to do for us. He came to die on the cross and to rise again to give us the certainty of the resurrection hope in him that is ours. And the joy that we now wait for in his second coming is the fulfilling of that resurrection promise. This is reflected in Luke chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, where we're told what the shepherds did, in their great joy. After they were told the news, this is what it says. "They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child." They went and shared the gospel. And now we come to the last of the purple candles, the candle of love, also known sometimes as the angel's candle. Now, when this candle is lit, all four of the candles will have been lit during the 4 weeks of waiting, And the wreath will be in full glow. And that reminds us of the night the angels, in their full glow, came and visited the shepherds. We're told that the heavens were filled with bright, can you imagine it? Filled with bright angels singing of the love of God come to earth. Heaven could not contain its light or its voice in expressing what God had done that night in sending his love to earth in the form of the infant Jesus. So the angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Well, that's the candles around the ring. Now, that brings us to the fifth candle, the one in the middle, the Christ candle. And the white candle there is, as you can see, larger than the others. With the lighting of this candle, when we do that, the time of Advent waiting comes to an end. The light of God, Jesus Christ, is now living among us, represented when this candle is lit. And though we are still waiting for his second return, we do so in the certainty that he has already come once as promised and fulfilled his work on earth. When he comes again, as promised, it will be for judgment and for glory. He'll not come the same as he did the first time. He'll come as the angel said on the day when he was taken up. And I kind of wonder, you see in that bottom picture, you see the two little angels down there pointing up? I kind of wonder, were they part of the heavenly band that was there on the night that the shepherds heard the angels sing as well? Do you remember what those two guys, what those two angels said to the men standing there? Acts 1:11 says, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way." That is what Advent teaches us to wait for. We wait with a purpose. The Advent wreath helps us to mark the time, both for the coming of Jesus to the manger and for his coming to us again in glory. That's some of the symbolism of what the Advent wreath teaches us. In the name of Jesus, who has come and who is coming again, we pray. Amen.